football on Off the Ball.
They can no longer dominate the ball, and the fear factor from City is gone, but they'll still finish second or third.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see a blue.
What about this club makes you proud to be a part of it?
I guess I grew up in Carrig. It's like it's a small village, you know, at the end of the day. But even in the last like 10, 15, 20 years, it's grown so much. It's probably easy for a place to like lose its sense of identity when it becomes almost like a satellite town. We're on the city bus route now, you know, bit of a big deal. But Carrig GAA is, it's in the centre, like, you know, geographically it's in the centre of the village, but it's also, it welcomes everybody, you know, if you've just moved to the village, which we have, like on our ladies football team, we've got girls that have come from other counties, who started families in Carrig, and now they're all part of Carrig too, they're all part of that team. So it's just, it's a really welcoming club for a place that like could have been a small country village, but has kind of just expanded because of its population. I think we've grown with it as well, you know, and it's just a welcoming place. Mm. You come down here and you could probably like pick off your hand maybe the 5 or 10 people that you know are going to be down here, and there's something really nice, there's something really comforting about that.
So. Does this place feel like home?
Yeah, definitely. But I would have obviously been in Australia for 2 years and played over there as well, made some great friends. And when I came back this year, I thought maybe like, oh, it'll feel a bit alien, or I won't know as many people in the club as I used to. But as soon as I came down and met the girls in like the dressing room at the training, it was like I never left. And even coming down, like hitting the ball off the wall in the ball alley, I can associate times with that at like different stages of my life. I remember coming down here, sneak behind the ball alley, you know, to chat to the lads when you were about 10 or 11, and that was a big deal. I remember coming down, sprinting up and down that hill with Anthony Barry in the dead of winter for football training when you're young, and it's just something to do outside of the house. Or when you get a bit older, then like coming down, had a bit of a shitty or stressful day, you can just use the ball alley to kind of, you know, get out of your head for a small bit. So all different stages of life, I suppose it's been a constant, and I'm looking forward to, you know, for it to be a constant again in the future, you know, for other milestones. I was gonna ask you what the club means to a community, but I mean, it's pretty evident we couldn't even find a quiet spot here to talk to. It's so busy down here.
Yeah, it's clubs are vitally important to communities, especially a community like Carrig Tool. It's a suburb, started off as a village when you and me grew up here. There was maybe 11 or 1200 people. We're now looking at 6.5, nearly 7,000. You know what I mean? We went from, if you didn't get invited to a wedding, being odd to not even knowing what's happening around the village most of the time now, you know? So there are certain organisations that can still bring stuff together, bring people together, and they keep momentum going, and you know, they keep that relationship going in the village, and they're absolutely vital, really, really are vital, yeah.
And you're seeing it all from the grassroots up, chairman of the juvenile club.
Yeah, chairman, I've been involved in office right here now as long as my own kids have been involved. I only finished playing last year, thankfully, but so we started under six and we go all the way up to minor, and then hopefully the lads progress on to adult level, you know. But the numbers are growing each year, the number of volunteers required grows each year. Like, we have a great problem this year in that most of our teams at primary ages have either got to semi-finals or finals, which sounds brilliant, and they're doing it at good levels, P1s, P2s, which is fantastic. But then you have the extra burden of finances for that. Like, we budgeted to a certain point and now we're well strung out.
We're exceeding expectations.
Yeah. And also the bank account, you know. So it's tough going, but You wouldn't swap it for anything.
I grew up in Farran. Now there is Aerogues nearby, but we were athletics and my dad, who's from the West Indies, was cricket based. So we spent every summer by the Mardyke, just playing around. My dad played cricket, but we always just enjoyed sport in general. And I think that's the main thing. Once you enjoy sport, you can pick up on anything. So moved to Carrigtwohill with my husband and her kids, and it's kind of a case of, especially 20 years ago, if you can't beat them, join them.
And did you start playing?
No, but I had to quickly learn the rules. My husband warned me going down not to call it a bat or a ball. It was slitter and hurl. So he learned the rules, but I started off very, you know, under six level, and that's more just keeping the smallies happy.
Yeah. So did you find it helped when you moved to Carrigtwohill from Farran? No, it sounds even so far away now that joining the club helped you kind of move into the village.
Yeah, it does, definitely. I think if once you get involved in anything, it doesn't have to be sport, but that, I'm kind of that type of person, community based, and it's not for everyone, which is fair enough.
You've held probably nearly every position in the book, especially in the Camogie Club, have you?
I have at times, but I have to say, and it is hard work, and it's just about the people you have around you, really, and learning and going up to the county board and stuff like that. So the main thing is just to always keep it positive, and to realise that every single person who's volunteering is doing it for the good of their kids and everything like that. So yeah, I've held committee positions. It's rewarding. It's not easy. I've done my time, and I'm still here helping out with the adult girls. So I love that as well.
For a village our size, over the years, we probably overachieved, and you know, with overachievement then comes this level of expectation. Like, you want an intermediate, you want a senior, you know. We've had lads in and out of Cork panels for years, and have done, surely some girls and boys, whom are we talking to, you know. And to come from such a small area and achieve these levels, it does create that, but that also creates people in the club who the girls look up to and the lads look up to, not quite me now, but the other lads. Those type of levels, they're really important to try and get up to these levels and try and create a benchmark for the young fellas to get to. And we see it this year now, there's a bit of a transition, and we have lads who came through from very successful underage teams with their schools and inter-county level. They're coming through on the senior team this year. They're with Cork 16s, Cork Minors, Cork 20s, and again next year that's continuing, so we're really, really lucky that way.
Yeah, and like, we're seeing that Kate Ricken is over helping to train our junior football ladies.
Yeah, yeah.
When you've got managers of that calibre coming down to train,
yeah,
it's important, isn't it?
Like, what these fellas can bring in one session is gold. Like, you know what I mean? I come down and we're sharing different notes from lads who coach young fellas before us, and you know, we're trying to build on that, and all of a sudden then Niall McCarthy comes down, or Jason Barrett comes down, or like Keith comes down, or Noli Furlong comes down, and they give you a completely different view or perspective on what to do and how to approach and how to speak to someone. And Jesus, how did I not think of that before, you know what I mean?
No,
it's vital. If you don't have this continuation of people who've come through the village, who've come through the club, who've experienced this, you know, it's really difficult otherwise. Like,
Mick, you've had a great night here remembering that famous victory 45 years ago.
Absolutely incredible. Massive tribute to the club tonight. They've gone above and beyond to bring us all back together, to rekindle old friendships, make old connections, remember the highs and lows of that time, the great achievement and what it did for Carrigtwohill football.
Yeah, you were telling some stories there now during the dinner. I'd say you've got a bunch of stories between this team and you.
Oh, there's an incredible bunch of stories. There was great nights out, there was great adventures, there was great achievements, there was low points, but the club has retained its heart and soul and put the energy in and the effort in tonight to bring back people who probably haven't been in this fantastic new facility since it was built. So an incredible privilege to be here.
Can you tell us about any of the highs and lows that you had?
Oh, winning this football title 45 years ago, four of us were just 18 years of age.
Pops.
So we were kids, and we were brought on by the more adult players who led the way. They fought with determination, the whole Carrig approach, hard but fair. What a time we had, what a great achievement, and a wonderful time for the club, you know.
You're being accused of being a Middleton man in here tonight, in a Carrigtwohill setting. How does that go for you sometimes?
Yeah, look, we're all part of the GA family. How are you doing, mate? How are things, fine? Lovely. So, cheers.
Thank you.
So we're all part of the GAA family. My son had the privilege of playing hurling for Middleton. I played all my GAA for Carrick. That led to a lot of banter up and down in terms of whether you were Middleton, Carrick. I work in CIT and MTU, or CIT or MTU. So over the course of time, cheers, John. Good luck to you. So over the course of time, lots would be said to you, but always in a good spirit.
And that's kind of the heart of it, really, isn't it? Like, you'd be killing each other on the pitch, but off it, it's all, the gloves are off, it's all friendly.
Well, that's the heart of the GAA. It's all about going out, playing tough, playing fair, giving of your best, playing for your teammates, and at the end of it, having a drink or having a chat afterwards.
You've been involved with Carrick Tool, involved with Middleton with your son and MTU. Is there like a certain thread that you see going through all the clubs?
Oh, yeah, I just see the passion and the commitment, the level of volunteerism, people giving voluntarily of their time to better their communities through the medium of GAA. It's absolutely heroic, incredibly praiseworthy, and I take my hat off to all of them.
You were part of the team with John O'Mahony and Ollie O'Connor that wrote the book, really, on the history of Gaelic games in Carrick Tool, but even in the last couple of years, you probably would have had another chapter or two to add with all the changes down here.
Yeah, there's been huge changes, Rachel. Look, the club is growing all the time, obviously, but in conjunction with the size of the village. I mean, it's not a village anymore, really, is it? So with all the new people coming in, the club has exploded in terms of numbers and kids playing underage and that kind of thing. So, and as you say, the new clubhouse, which has been a fantastic, you know, a fantastic addition to the club. So yeah, we're just trying to manage the explosion, really, and kind of looking for, you know, looking ahead to see how we can manage it into the future, because it's only getting bigger, really.
Yeah, and how important is the GAA club to the village when it's expanding that much, or to help keep a bit of a sense of identity, I suppose?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it is. So, I mean, as you know, the village has completely transformed the last 20, 25 years in terms of the amount of new residential stuff and on the north of the village. And but like this pitch here, or these grounds, are kind of a fixed point. They're kind of, you know, kind of a social hub, really, you know, where people can just come into, even if they're not involved in the team, or if their kids are playing or not playing, you know, it's just a place where people can meet, and like it performs that function. So like, even as the village changes, as much as it is, or how much it has changed, this place is going to be a kind of real kind of, you know, a fixed point, as I say. Those lads who come down watching training will be here on a regular basis, and they know that if they come down, they're going to meet people to have a chat, which is a huge part of it. I mean, I've often done it myself. If you're on a summer's evening, if you've nowhere else to go, it's a great place to come. And, you know, there is that social hub feel to it.
Grandel Perch here for yourself.
I tell you, we're blessed. This is our back garden now. Every match we can see, we can come out here. I can go upstairs to my bedroom. I have whatever view I want, in the rain, in the snow, whatever comes our way, in the sun. We're blessed. I brought out the stepladder there the other day. My girls are looking at me stupid, saying, "What is Mum standing on?" And I had the best view in the house. It was brilliant. Yeah.
You'd be charging here now, am
I? I'd offer the lads a cup of tea if they wanted one for the crack. You know, you'd have Mickey Ronan, and then you've Anthony Barry there doing the tickets. But no, it was lovely. You'd have good banter and good crack, and yeah, it's lovely to see everyone coming down and the pitch being used.
Even outside of the actual playing of Gaelic games, there's a lot of other clubs going
hugely
on here. And
yeah,
you've got the Healthy Clubs Initiative.
Yeah, hugely. I suppose before, Carrick Tool was always just GAA club.
Yeah.
Whereas now we sort of embrace the community. We're absolutely open. We have the choir, we have yoga classes, we have the lottery every Monday night, the gospel choir.
My dad
Thursday
disappears for a few hours.
A couple of hours. Oh, he's great banter.
How long does it take to do the lotto?
At least 4 hours.
At least, yeah.
The community we've built here in Carrick Tool, it's incredible over the years. I suppose I'm here 30 years now, and watching the community evolve and the pitch evolve and the GAA club evolve over the years has been amazing. 7 nights a week, you come down to the pitch, it's at the heart of the community, it's at the main street here in Carrick Tool, and it is buzzing 7 nights a week, and that's just really, really amazing to see. It's just setting the way, and hopefully over the next 30 years it continues to grow and it continues to evolve.
I'd say we'll still be seeing you playing fullback in another 10-15 years time.
I am slowly declining now, whether it's fitness or aches and pains, so I don't think I'll be still playing in 30 years, but hopefully the people that I'm training and the people that I'm supporting underage will be up and we'll be supporting them.
There's going to be a tough crop of under 11s coming up, so watch out.
Watch out. Watch this space.
Do you have any favourite memories from down here?
Oh yeah, Jesus, loads. I mean, Plenty good and bad, you know, there's plenty more losses than wins, obviously, but look, the greatest day in our modern history was the county final in 2011, which, so we hadn't won a county for 90 odd years at senior level, so that was fantastic. Like, that was completely, I guess, well, not completely unexpected, but we were complete outsiders at the start of the year. So
yeah. Was it 100 to 1 or something?
100 to 1 on some bookies list, yeah. No, I think nobody backed us at 100 to 1, but we were outsiders, you know, even in the final we were outsiders. So it was a huge thing for the village, and, you know, there's massive euphoria, and, you know, give everyone such a lift, you know, and they were a fantastic group of players. They've been around, some of them have been around a long time and they'd won minor counties and intermediate counties, and so yeah, it was fantastic.
You have to look at what success does to a village like this. I mean, yeah, back in 07 when won an intermediate, I mean, that was a massive step for us, because we'd always been knocking on a door for years, and then all of a sudden it was a case of, Jesus, we can do this, you know. Then there was a couple of tough years, but then when it stepped up to winning a senior county, you know, I mean, I've never seen a reaction, or I've never seen almost consequences to the village of our livers and our health, and but what it did to the whole village, the whole community, the whole county, I mean, like, everyone's expectation and everyone's view of you forevermore. I mean, all of a sudden, instead of being out and having the winter to prepare for next year, you once the club. I mean, who would have thought we were going to play in a Cusick Park? You know what I mean? So, like, those things are absolutely, they would be the real standout ones. And I suppose there've been lots of small good ones, but when you have something as big as that just eclipses everything, really.
It's hard to overlook. Yeah, people came from other clubs as well, just to Carrick for the night to congratulate.
Oh, Jesus, I don't forget it. Yeah, because there's people do it, and you know what, hopefully I'll get to the stage where I can do it too. There's lads who travel around on the Monday after a county, you know, and they go to wherever
the official Monday club
is. And when we won the intermediate, I know that there was lads stayed around for the senior, and their ambition would have been to go wherever the senior victory was on the next day, but they were like, absolutely not, we're going to Carrick too. So they came down for the intermediate. The same lads came down with about 10 extra after the senior. Do you know what I mean? So we had lads coming from North Cork, West Cork, obviously a couple of the East Cork clubs came in. So the village was shut down. I mean, the great story there, there was a new chipper opened, and he opened on the Thursday before the county. So I mean, the place was dead, like, you know. And then Sunday came, and this fella thought all his Christmases had come. He was like, is this going to be every weekend?
This village is like.
He was up no Aldi, cleaning out their freezer cabinet to come up and cook it in his own chipper, you know. I'd say he made his money. I think he closed the following weekend and we never saw him again, you know. He made his money.
One and done.
Yeah, one and done, you know. Jesus.
I suppose when you hear Carrick Tool hurling, you'd think of Niall McCarthy. A lot of people automatically.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was such an important player on the team itself, hurling, but how important is he as a presence in the village, you know, just to the community itself?
Look, Niall is the greatest Cork player we've produced since the 50s, you know, like, we had Willie John Daly and Matty Fuyan back in those times, when all Ireland's with Cork, and Niall's been our greatest Cork player the last 75 years. He was a brilliant player, obviously, on our senior team that won the county, but he was a brilliant player on lots of teams, even losing teams over many years. So he was a real hero to people in Carrick and to young people in Carrick, and just a warrior of a player, a brilliant player, someone that, even, you know, even if you weren't from Carrick too, even if you're just a Cork supporter, people had huge time for Niall because of the way he played and, you know, the passion he brought to it. And he's been a fantastic presence. Like, he's been involved in loads of teams in Carrick over the years, and always brings great positivity to every team he's involved in.
You're the manager of the senior team now this year. You didn't try and convince him to come out of retirement at all, no?
Not this year. We convinced him, I remember, a few years ago. He came out of retirement. He came out of retirement more than once now, Niall, in fairness to
him. Did he?
Over the years, when things were tight or tricky, we were fighting relegation or something, you know, so he's never let us down. Yeah. God, he's never let us down.
What has been your proudest moment playing football or camogie?
Proudest moment was probably winning. Like, it's easy to say winning a final, you know, probably it's the default. But it was, we won a minor county final, camogie, which was a big deal because the club was pretty young at the time. And it was, when we were at that age, I think it was probably the first time that we realised that, oh, we put in a lot of this work and we got to a final, and it doesn't happen all the time. You know, when you're younger and it's like, oh, we've got a final, when you're like 14, 15, 16. It's cool and it's exciting, but you don't really grasp how big of a deal it is. So I think that final, we all realise, like, we've worked really hard for this. We've trained all year. And I remember even seeing Niall McCarthy was at the match, and that just felt like one of the biggest deals ever. You know, we were a close team, and for people to be talking about, like, the girls' team winning was definitely a proud moment. Yeah. You speak about enjoying it. Do you have a favourite memory of being down here, or a favourite, like, GAA memory?
Well, Carrigtwohill men, I suppose the Carrigtwohill men seniors winning the county was amazing. I mean,
you're not the first person to say that.
Yeah, I know, and I suppose it's one that sticks out. But I have to say, above that, when I was training, with training Camogie with the girls, we got into it a few years, and we had Philip Dorgan, who is no longer with us, bless him. He was training with me, and we got the under 14s to county win. And I swear it was as good. It was that feeling was as good as the men's winning their county.
Yeah.
I think it was a county C, and it was the first time in a long time that the girls won a county. And just that feeling for them and their parents and the hard work, it was just great. It was, the buzz was brilliant, and it kept them invested. And we've more girls signed up the next year. You know, so you know, you have to have that balance. Whereas the win isn't always the thing, because you have to keep girls in the play, but if you're not competitive, there can be a drop off.
Yeah.
So it's getting that balance right.
How I know you well is from the Camogie Club. Yeah. I'd associate you with Camogie here in Carrick. You chaired the Camogie Club, as well as chairing the men's club as well.
That's
after
right.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great to have a Camogie Club here now in Carrick.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. I mean, I suppose I joined the Camogie initially because we had moved back from the UK, and I had two daughters, and I wanted them to play a sport. And you go into these things, you sort of get dragged in, and you see things that need to be done, and you know, you see that there's a gap there for volunteerism, and you go in there and you try to help as much as you can, and you get dragged in more and more and more, and then you get involved in the committee and stuff like that. And look, you know, we, as you say, we won a county minor back in 2012.
Yeah.
But that was the amalgamation of and work of a lot of people from when the Camogie first started many years before that. And, you know, people like you and my daughter started under sixes, under eights, under tens, under 12s, under 12s, 14s, 16s, and minor. So, you know, in all those age gaps, you have coaches who put in their time. You know, any minor team is based on the success of the underage level.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not taking any credit for that. I was chairman at the time, and lucky to be chairman at the time, and we got great support. But as I say, it was an amalgamation of years of work by all coaches in all different levels, right up to where they were. So that was a great success. And I suppose when we won the county final, I suppose the club here were fantastic to us. We had equal facilities to use. We had all the pitches, anything we wanted, they helped us, and they wanted to promote Camogie here as much as we can. So, but I think when we won the county, I thought, right, these guys are serious.
It's, you know, awesome.
Yeah, we're serious. They're going to take us, you know, as genuine club, and that we're serious, and we sort of embedded ourselves in here as part of the culture here at Carrigtwohill GAA. So that was great. That was great.
And you were even saying last night, I remember it specifically as well, there was kind of like a big annual newsletter that had come out at the end of the
year.
We
were front page.
The Camogie was on the front page.
I still have that, actually. It's lovely to look back in it and look back at the girls who were involved back then, you know. And it's not all about learning Camogie, it's about, you know, you as a person and you growing and you getting to know how to deal with, you know, conflict, how to deal with depression, how to deal with being let down, not being on the first team. It's all about learning, it's all about your personal self and your personal growth and stuff like that. So look, you look back now on that team, and you know, there's a lot of successful girls in there now who went on to do, you know, great things, and they're scattered all over the world probably. But it's lovely to look back and see. Now, it's only like a blink of an eye when you think about it, 2012, and it seems like yesterday. But all those are all adults now. Some of them are married, some of them have kids.
The match itself was great, but it was afterwards here. I think we all came back to the kitchen and we brought Franks down, and all the families were there. Like, I remember my grand was there. And, that was the standout of the day from
absolutely,
coming back here.
Absolutely.
And like you said, real naive nearly, even though we were probably like 16, 17, 18. It's just a bag of chips the pitch is all we wanted.
And you know, that's so important, whether you win or whether you lose. It's coming back as a unit, and it's going to be either commiserations and well done and let's go next time, or it's going to be absolute mayhem of celebrations. And look, everybody was delighted with the Frank's chips and the bottle of orange and the bag of potatoes. And you know, we all were out there afterwards milling around and stuff like that, couldn't believe that we had actually won it. It was a fabulous, and I suppose as a player, what they love in Carrigtwool is going into the cars, hanging out of the windows, hanging out of rooftops and blowing the horn and going through the village. And there's a huge sense of pride in doing that. And for the girls, because news of travel, what are the horns blowing for today? And they'd say, oh, the girls won the county. And like, it was just highly unusual for the girls at that point to reach that level. It was always the boys, and was always, they were given great credit for it. But we got a lot of kudos in not just in the club here, but a lot of kudos in the parish, in the community, by saying, oh, the girls won it, that's great.
Yeah, because we'd nearly kind of done the lap of Castleview, and by the time we came back, people had come outside.
Yeah, the door, yeah, and they were saying, what's going on here? And they're waving to people. There was great memories there, and great memories for the players. You know, and some of them are, Kira is still playing. Some of them, Amy is still playing.
Yeah.
You know, some of the girls are still playing, and that's fantastic. And they can pass down then their knowledge to the younger people of the team. And, you know, just, you know, it's a full circle. And, you know, it's great to be a part of that and now look back on it and what a wonderful achievement it was at the time.
You know, they're in history of winning a county final, and that was just amazing. But it's all, sometimes it's just the small little things. It's the under-6 training. I'll never forget. I just used to love the under-6 training. I still have a card that one of my under-6 girls gave me, a thank you card and some flowers at the end of the season. I still have that card at home. So they're the little small victories when you have a little word. A parent has a word in the ear saying that the training and the positivity and the fun really helped their child with struggling.
Yeah.
And that you having those little conversations with parents. So it's hard to pick out one thing, but I think it's all the small little victories. And victory, so it doesn't always come in the shape
with the cup.
Of a medal.
Yeah.
It's the small little victories that help, you know. So I suppose that's it, really. But that county win from the men's
was still very good. Yeah.
I think it took a week for the village to recover after that.
Absolutely.
You know, it was great.
Absolutely.
You know.
There's something about Gaff. There is something about Gaff. Be a footballer, Camogie. There's something about the Gaff. Yeah.
Were you more of a hurler or a footballer?
To be fair, I played football first, so there wasn't a Camogie club here at the very start when I was younger. So actually, yeah, I played my first football match on this pitch. It was before goal games and everything. It would have been part of like a blitz, and I was a good bit younger than the age groups playing. It's a lot more strict now. I think the under-16s are allowed to play minor and that's it, but those days you could literally just play, you know, you'd be like a 14-year-old going on American, a mam of three in her 40s, you know. You'd be scared to see if your marker arrived driving her car. But I remember coming on and I was just told, like, mark your player. And I took it so seriously that even it was halftime, they with a whistle blew, I didn't even notice, and I followed my player over to their halftime talk. So like, I looked up and I saw all the team, they were like, yeah, no, you can come over here, kind of laughing at me. So I have all of those memories of football from like a very, very young age. But then the Camogie club started up in Carrig when I was maybe 11 or 12, and I loved it as well. So more of a footballer, just because I played it more when I was younger, but now the scales have probably tipped in the other direction. Can you tell us a little bit about the Gaelic from Mothers and Others, the Carrigtwool Cougars?
Yeah, no, I have
They're
to say,
a special group.
They are a special group. No, I just dip in and out, and there are a bunch of amazing women. I'm not the one who does the organising at all, but it started off a few years ago, and there must be about 50 or 60 mothers. I'm not joking. It's absolutely huge. But you can dip in and out, which is a great thing. There's no, but there is a core group of women who are serious about and who love their football, and the friendships that they have created with other clubs is just amazing. It's actually one of the best things that's been organised on a national level, I think. And they have they go to Crow Park every year, and they have blitzes and everything. But just the support within it in the background, because I'm on the WhatsApps, and usually you say, oh, the WhatsApps and everything.
Yeah, I dreaded WhatsApp.
Yeah, but this is the support that comes because they're all moms who, some of them are new to the village, from all nationalities. Their kids are enjoying the football. Even if their kids don't play football, they're down here and they get to know and they get support for loads of different areas of their lives, whether it's babysitting or just... anybody know the name of a good plumber, that kind of thing. But it really helps, it really helps, and we're hoping to get the Camogie has the same
The same initiative.
It's called Social Camogie. There's a name to it, I can't really remember, but we're hoping to start that in a couple of years and actually just combine it with the same group, because it's going to be the same amount of people, so the same kind of people crossing over. So there's an idea in a couple of years that we'll do the Camogie with it and do like every second week we'll train Camogie in football. So that's something that's in my head as well. But like, that's what I like about the GA, that there's all these outside things. There's also you know, just for every type of person, it's all very inclusive. You know, and that's what I like about it.
We were saying, you can just come down here. You don't need to have know that there's a match on. Even came down here to meet you. There's two or three matches happening at once, and there's something else happening in the hall. So it's a real centre of the community.
It really is centre. It is. I mean, you've got the training over here. We've got our under 12s playing here, and I know some of the moms. And I just stood before I was talking to you. I just stood there for 10 minutes, and it was just a joy to watch. I often wander down if I'm going for a walk, especially during the high match times, and just wander in, and sometimes you can grab, you just catch a really good match. So it is lovely, and it's very important for our elders in the community, and that they still have that link. And you see them all the time coming down in their cars, and they've grown up, and at one stage GA was the only sport here for them, and they still have that, and everyone knows them. It's hugely important, I think. It is lovely. I love that aspect, and as I say, coming from someone who wasn't reared playing Gaelic football, it's across, it's just any sport really, you know. But I do like, I think the GA is very inclusive.
I suppose the thing that stands out more than anything over the last 50 years is the changes in Carrigtool, like, apart altogether from GA, like, you know, the total, all the total explosion of population and the diversity of population and everything like that. It's a different place now, but like, it still retains, I think, a lot of its old traditional characteristics, you know, and with the help of God, it'll continue to be that way for the future as well. It's a very welcoming place. I mean, to take it even, just to look at our senior hurling team at the moment, there's one young lad who was born in Nigeria playing centre field. He's probably one of the best players we have. You know, he could be a Cork forward in the future, the way he's playing. He's fantastic. And, you know, that's a typical example. If he's, everybody is welcome. And you have players from all over that were born all over Ireland as well, like, you know. So it's great. We're going the right direction.
It's volunteers really that are at the heart of everything, every GA club across the country.
Sure.
And we saw Peter Hogan letting us in this morning, you know, up early to open the gates and open up the pitch for us. How important are the volunteers to
Sure, look, the club wouldn't exist without volunteers, obviously. And as you say, look, every club has the same story from that point of view. But like, we're blessed that there are people here whose passion for the club is undiminished from year to year, whether it's a good year or a bad year. There are people who have been here for decades, literally decades, who've kept the club going through thick and thin. And, you know, if you start naming names, you're going to offend people or at least leave people out. But, you know, there are people that who've been there since I've started and since I was a kid coming down here. And, you know, they've shown incredible resilience to keep coming back and keep going. And as I say, it doesn't matter whether we have prospects or whether we don't have prospects. They're here with us and keeping the show on the road.
Someone you'd always talk about as a history maker in terms of volunteering in the club would be Caroline Dixie. You know, she's done so much for the club.
Yeah, absolutely. Caroline was elected secretary in 1983 when she was 18 years of age, and we think she was the first female secretary of a GA club in the country. She was certainly the first female officer in Carrigtool, and you know, it showed her passion for the club, obviously. And she's done loads of different roles for the club since. She's been vice chair, she's been chair, she's been secretary. She was heavily involved in the Camogie club. So she's been, and Caroline and her family, the Kidneys, like, they've been a massive part of Carrigtool GA for generations. And Caroline's passion for the club is terrific.
At 18, you became
secretary
of the lads club. There's not many young people, men or women, putting their hand up for that position.
Well, I suppose I was naive to one extent because I didn't know what was involved as secretary. I was very humbled to be asked, to be fair. But I grew up with hurling, you know, in my family. I have five brothers. I had five uncles who played. So it was absolutely embedded in me. So when John Kelleher, I suppose he was chairperson at the time, and Ollie O'Connor, who was here last night, he was treasurer. And they asked me to get involved, of course, delighted. As I say, a bit naively, not thinking what was involved. But, you know, it was a huge learning curve for me into how the mechanics of the GAA work. Back then, there was no emails, there was no mobile phones. And the way we were communicated by matches was, especially for championship matches, was a nice little embossed letter from the county board saying your match against, you know, Milltown at the time, because we were intermediate, is on this day. So there's no phone calls and there was no emails.
And no changing.
And no changing. And that was that. And if you had a team, you had a team. If you didn't, you didn't. You had to just suffer the consequences. But it was a very, very different role back then to what it is now. Today, it's much more structured. It's much more organised, which is for the better, I think. But yeah, a huge learning curve. And I also probably came in when it was an important part of the club that we purchased our second field here behind us.
Oh, fab.
So there was kind of greats involved back then, like Paddy Roach, Willie O'Brien, before your time, no, Rachel. Willie O'Brien,
I'm nodding along here.
Willie O'Brien and Tom Barry. They were three characters now in Carrick 2, amongst many others, who were sort of instrumental in purchasing that. And I learned a huge amount from those dealings that they had with the community and the fundraising and stuff like that. So, as I say, a huge learning curve for me, but I got to learn and know all the mechanics of how the GAA works. And, you know, as you move along, you progress with it and you get a part to be a part of it. So, yeah, it was busy, it was nice, it was lovely, and I got to meet a lot of people. I do think women don't get enough kudos for what they've contributed to the GAA club.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've had five of us, well, like my own mum, as I say, five brothers, coming home with dirty gear and washing all that. And there wasn't dryers back then. It was open the line and, there's, you know, the weather isn't the best. So, you know, they deserve an awful lot of credit for the GAA in Carrick 2 and all over the country.
Who here inspires you?
There's so many people. So many people, it would probably be hard to name any one single person. Like, the entire club is made up of just volunteers. Eva, who hopefully we'll be chatting to at some stage today, she's my best friend. But we play football together. We have done since as long as I can remember. But it's great to see her kind of take a different role in the ladies' football club the last couple of years. To be fair, I've always just played, you know. It's easy to show up and pitches are booked and training is done for you, but Eva is involved heavily now. She's getting refs for our games, whether it's good for her blood pressure or not. She's sorting out refs, she's sorting out pitches. She's training younger teams now as well on Fridays, and it's easy to do that maybe when you're a good bit older and you've got kids yourself, but Eva's doing that already, you know, as a young player, and she's given back to the club that has given so much to us. And she's also still putting in unbelievable shifts at fullback for the junior footballers. So definitely, people like Eva are the reason GAA clubs exist and like continue to thrive.
Obviously your dad, John, has been looking after our junior team for the last couple of the years. How does that dynamic go with the father-daughter in the team?
It did take a bit of getting used to, but now I myself play full back and my trusted Rachel plays here full forward. My brother, he's involved in the Carrick 2 senior hurlers, and both my uncles, they're involved in the adult selectors as well. So between us all, we're all out 7 nights a week and I'd have it no other way.
I love it. Like, usually when I ask you what we're doing, it's like a calendar in the Google calendar first, and then we can make plans after that, isn't it?
Exactly that. I think even this weekend, I hear that we could fit four matches in on Sunday if you're up at 10 and you'll be home for 9. So yeah, we're all looking forward to it. It's the busy season and would have it no other way.
And I suppose a lot of people that we would have started playing football with don't play anymore. Why do you still play?
I suppose I still play. I play for the love of it, first of all. And I recently turned 30 last week. And I know I'm not going to be playing for another 30 years. So I recently started getting involved with the under-11s here in Carrigtool, and I suppose I'm setting the way for them to come up and them to take over in years to come. So it's all about passing the baton and laying the foundations for the underage girls and trying to inspire them that I've had amazing memories in the club, and I hope that they do too.
Is there any one memory for you that sticks out? Now, this should come with a warning that even my memories don't always kind of add up. We'd have completely different recollections of how matches went. But is there anything that stands out for you?
Yeah, I suppose, Rachel, you send me memories that I can't even remember. It's us going in the Cork Kerry border, under-11s, and you know everybody's fielding. So, yeah, unfortunately, I don't have those memories, the ones that you have. But one of the memories that really stands out to me is growing up, I always remember our friendship when I think of the GA. You even sent me an article from the Echo of us under 12s, and it called us a midfield duo.
Got me with the days. Now we're the least running possible, the two of us have gone.
Close to the ends of the pitch that are opposite. But yeah, so I remember our friendship and I remember the GA. When we were growing up, I have a picture of us, and we were going off on Erasmus for third year in university, and you had your bags packed, they were as big as yourself, and I had tears rolling down my eyes bidding you farewell. And little did I know, you were off to Rennes and I was off to Lyon in France, and I thought I wouldn't see her for 12 months, and little did we know that we actually saw each other more in France than we did in Carrigtool because of the GA. We were at Blitzes nearly every second weekend. We joined the GA clubs over in France, and whether it was Paris, Lyon, Nice, we saw each other, and that was through the GA.
I feel like we were on Erasmus together.
And it was the one time that we actually weren't a duo, and we were nearly rivals on the pitch. So
I feel like he came up on top, you were very good.
Now, your team were stuck for a player, so that's when I said, I'll play with Rachel again, just for old times. do you know what? Wherever you go in the world, I think the GA is an amazing place to get involved in the community, get to know people, and it really is the heart of every community.
It's the centre, it always will be the centre, and everybody knows Carrigtool GA, everybody knows everything about it, everybody knows the personalities in there, like Peter Hogan. If you mention Peter Hogan's name anywhere in the country, somebody will know him.
Absolutely.
You know,
Someone will have met him at a match.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There'll be some connection with them. So yeah, it is the centre of the universe.
Yeah. Especially when you're driving past. I love, it's just automatic.
Yeah.
That you when you're on the dual carriageway, yeah, the head will go left to
of course
see
it will, yeah,
what's going on.
Yeah. Or are they booked in there now? Do they book on the app?
Oh, you'd be looking from the admin point of view, yeah.
No, it's great to see. And you know, people, I mean, there's about 65,000 cars up and down that road every day. And it's a great promotion for us, you know, and the pitches are always full, especially on Wednesdays and Fridays and Saturday mornings. They're always full. There's always games going on here. So it's great to people to see that activity as well. And anywhere you go now, you will meet someone that you have met on your journey, you know, down along the line, and we reminisce then about, Christ, do you remember that match? Do you remember that referee? Or when we had a bit of a falling out or whatever. And you know what, life goes on. You just make up, you know, you move on, you learn. But everywhere you go, you're going to meet somebody. I mean, I'm out of the Camogie now for a good few years, but you still meet the likes of Mary Newman from the Glen, and you know, the people who were involved in the county board years ago. So it's great fabric of life that you have developed over the years.
One last one.
Go on.
If you could describe Kerry GA Club in one word, what would it be?
Oh, that's a really difficult question. You'd love to say something like personal or emotional, like what any club means to any person, you know. Hey, I see you. Because it represents so much. I don't know. Can I give it a word? I'm sorry.
No, brilliant.
Do you know what I mean?
That's enough of it.
Yeah. Not a bother.
Sean, thanks so much.
No bother. Thanks for that.